Thank you, Chief Justice. And if I can first address the issue of the ratification of optional protocols. As you've already heard, we've only just completed the ratification of the 9 core human rights conventions. In fact, the last such ratification was only in August of this year. And we still have an enormous job ahead of us to implement those conventions in our national laws and policies. We also have this enormous job of reporting on all of those conventions. And I think there are many countries in this room who will acknowledge that reporting can create a huge burden on a state. And so we would quite like to just put the brakes on ratification for a little while we sort out the issue of reporting and implementation. On the subject of the national mechanisms for reporting, implementation, reporting and follow-up, I'm very pleased to say that Fiji made a commitment to introduce and established such a mechanism when we were campaigning for membership of the Human Rights Council, and we remain determined to establish a national mechanism. In the course of establishing that mechanism, we hope to consult with other countries which have successfully done so, and to work with civil society groups to ensure that it works effectively and that it really helps us with the reporting obligations that we have, as well as acknowledging that the implementation of the SDGs is very closely aligned to the implementation of human rights obligations. There was a delegation which raised, suggested and recommended to us that we should ratify the new ILO Convention on Violence and Harassment in the Workplace. And I'm very proud to say that Fiji participated in the negotiations at the ILO on this particular convention, that Cabinet has approved the presentation of this new convention to Parliament, where it will be very shortly debated and considered for ratification. There were a number of questions about poverty eradication, and of course poverty eradication is extremely important to Fiji, as it is for all countries of the world. We also accept the fact that poverty eradication is multifaceted, but in relation to poverty eradication, education really is key. And so, as I said in the opening statement of government during this UPR, it is very important that education should remain free and compulsory at primary and secondary levels, and that there should be a much easier access to the tertiary institutions than there was in the past. It's also very, very important that recruitment throughout the sectors should be based on merit and merit alone. And where we have had a past where ethnicity has been extremely relevant to recruitment, we now reject that particular past, and we want to look forward to a future where a person, a child, a future employee is judged only on the merits of a particular application or to access to services. We also wish to state that we have already issued a standing invitation to special mandate holders. In fact, that was a commitment we made in the last cycle of the UPR, so the standing invitation has been issued, and we're very happy that we have welcomed an independent expert or a special rapporteur every year since we accepted that recommendation in our last cycle. In relation to in employment, we know again that although the numbers of girls at universities may now start to exceed the number of boys who come out of universities, that there is still a challenge in ensuring that they reach leadership positions in institutions. And to that end, it's very important to create a level playing field in employment institutions. Therefore, the provision of maternity leave, which is mandatory, is extremely important. The implementation successfully of measures to prevent sexual harassment in the workplace is very important and is mandatory under our Employment Relations Act. Equal pay for equal work is mandatory under our Employment Relations Act. And very importantly, only last year we have our first ever provision for paternity leave in Fiji. So really the removal of barriers to equality in the workplace is a priority for Fiji. There was a recommendation in relation to abortion for persons who have who are victims of rape and incest, and I confirm that in fact a person who is a victim of rape or incest in Fiji has a right to an abortion, which must of course be conducted by a medical practitioner under the Crimes Act. Also, on the issue of the Human Rights and Anti-Discrimination Commission, there are a number of recommendations asking the Human Rights and Anti-Discrimination Commission to adhere to the Paris Principles. Our Human Rights and Anti-Discrimination Commission has been working very hard with the Asia Pacific Forum and with GANRI to fulfill all of the requirements of the Paris Principles. And as I've said earlier, our constitution recognizes a very strong role for the Human Rights and Anti-Discrimination Commission. There were concerns about public order, about media freedom, and about the Crimes Act. I wish to say that the Crimes Act and the Public Order Act do not criminalize the legitimate criticism of government activities. And so therefore this balance between freedom of speech and incitement to violence and hate speech, this is something that is already incorporated into our constitution, and we look to our judiciary to balance those rights in accordance with international law and practice. We have to also emphasize that our constitution provides for hate speech and prohibits it, and provides for two types of hate speech. One, where there is an incitement to violence included in the hate speech, where the freedom of expression does not apply. And the other, where it is simply hate speech, which is encouraging discrimination against a person on any of the prohibited grounds, which incidentally includes gender identity and expression and sexual orientation. That is also a form of hate speech, and it is included in our constitution. Therefore, government continues to be very concerned to protect our people, particularly our minorities and the persons of LGBTI community from hate speech. And we consider that we have a positive obligation to ensure such a protection. Just one last thing before I make at the request of the head of delegation, before I make a closing remark, I do want to say something about albinism. There were several recommendations on albinism, and the Ministry of Health, in conjunction with the Tumi Hospital, has launched a Fiji Albinism Project, which specifically sets out not only to provide free healthcare for persons with albinism, but also to remove stigma from society in relation to albinism. We have a number of persons who are registered as persons with albinism, including children in our schools. And we were very happy 2 years ago to welcome the independent expert on the rights of persons with albinism to Fiji, and her recommendations, which were extremely constructive and helpful, have really helped to mould the Fiji's policies on persons with albinism. That brings us to the end of our comments at this UPR of Fiji, and I would like to thank everybody for their extremely constructive recommendations during this process. The UPR process is absolutely fundamental to the implementation of human rights in Fiji, and we have known this to be so. We'd like to thank the President of the Human Rights Council, the Human Rights Council Secretariat, and the UPR Secretariat, the interpreters, and every person in this room who has contributed to this UPR. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. President.